Welcome back to Opiniate. Our channel explores the currents shaping our world. In today's episode, we will discuss China's debt trap diplomacy, a complex and controversial strategy making headlines worldwide. We will explore its origins, provide real-world examples, and discuss the impact on international relations. Join us as we uncover the layers behind this strategy and its global ramifications. Definition and origin. Debt trap diplomacy refers to a contentious strategy where a dominant lending country extends substantial loans to a less affluent nation. As the theory posits, this is not done merely out of generosity or for mutual benefit, but with the ulterior motive of gaining significant political and economic leverage. The term captures a scenario where the debtor, unable to fulfill its repayment obligations, finds itself ensnared in a trap. It must cede strategic assets, policy controls, or geopolitical advantages to the creditor. The origin of this term is often associated with China's international lending practices, especially under initiatives like the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. While not officially recognized or admitted as a policy, critics argue that it reflects Beijing's long-term strategic planning and geopolitical maneuvering. The BRI, a multi-trillion dollar initiative launched in 2013 by President Xi Jinping, aims to enhance global trade and stimulate economic growth across Asia, Africa, and Europe through the development of infrastructure projects like roads, ports, and railways. However, the opaque terms, high interest rates, and the colossal scale of these loans have raised alarms about the potential for debt dependency. A quintessential example illustrating this concept is Sri Lanka's Hambantota port. Unable to repay the Chinese loans covering 85% of the port's construction costs, Sri Lanka leased the port back to China for 99 years in 2017. This has been widely interpreted as a textbook case of debt trap diplomacy, illustrating how a crippling debt situation led to the loss of a strategic asset, which might now serve China's military and economic interests in the Indian Ocean region. Another example is Djibouti, strategically located at the Horn of Africa, which has seen its debt-to-GDP ratio escalate due to Chinese loans. Concerns abound that Djibouti might eventually concede control of key assets to China, including ports and military bases, impacting international shipping routes and regional security dynamics. These instances serve as a stark reminder of the potential consequences of debt-trap diplomacy. Highlighting the precarious balancing act, countries must navigate between economic development and sovereignty. Historical context. The historical context of China's lending practices is rooted in the broader trajectory of its foreign policy and economic strategies. Emerging from the era of the Cultural Revolution and the economic reforms initiated by Deng Xiaoping in the late 20th century, China transitioned from a closed, centrally planned system to a more market-oriented and globally integrated economy. This transformation laid the groundwork for what would become an aggressive strategy of overseas investments and lending, signaling a shift in China's role from a regional player to a global powerhouse. China's going-out policy, implemented in the early 2000s, marked a significant pivot in its foreign engagement strategy. This policy encouraged Chinese enterprises to invest abroad, acquire foreign assets, and participate in global markets. The objective was twofold: to secure access to essential resources such as oil, minerals, and metals necessary for sustaining China's rapid economic growth, and to export China's surplus industrial capacity in sectors like construction, manufacturing, and technology. In 2013, President Xi Jinping unveiled the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, a global development strategy involving infrastructure development and investments in nearly 70 countries and international organizations. Ostensibly aimed at enhancing regional connectivity and embracing a brighter economic future, the BRI represents the zenith of China's lending practices, with commitments estimated to be over $1 trillion. However, this ambitious initiative has been met with criticism, particularly regarding the terms of the loans, which often lack transparency and favor Chinese companies and labor. The evolution of China's lending practices can also be traced through its relationship with Africa. Over the past two decades, China has become Africa's largest trading partner and a major source of investment. Chinese loans have funded a diverse array of projects across the continent, from infrastructure to agriculture, often under terms that are more attractive than those of traditional Western lenders. However, this has led to increasing debt levels in many African nations, raising concerns about debt sustainability and sovereignty. A case in point is Angola, which has received billions of dollars in Chinese loans since the early 2000s, secured against oil revenues. This funding has been critical for rebuilding the nation's infrastructure post-civil war, but it has also significantly increased Angola's debt burden, with a substantial portion of its external debt owed to China. The historical evolution of China's foreign loans and investments is a tale of strategic expansion and economic diplomacy. From a strategy designed to secure resources and market access, to ambitious global initiatives like the BRI, China's lending practices reflect its aspirations for global leadership and its approach to international relations. However, as these practices unfold on the world stage, they continue to spark debates over their long-term implications for global economic stability and sovereignty. Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. The Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, unveiled by Chinese President Xi Jinping in 2013, stands as a monumental endeavor aimed at expanding global trade corridors and bolstering economic integration across continents. The initiative draws inspiration from the historic Silk Road, seeking to revive and expand these ancient trade routes to forge new pathways of mutual prosperity. Encompassing both the Silk Road economic belt and the 21st century maritime Silk Road, the BRI extends through Asia to Africa and Europe, covering over 60 countries that account for about 30% of the world's GDP and over 60% of the global population. The BRI's stated aims are multifaceted: to stimulate economic growth in developing countries through infrastructure development, enhance regional connectivity, and promote cultural and academic exchanges. The initiative covers an extensive range of projects, including railways, highways, maritime ports, power plants, and telecommunications networks. Through these ventures, China aims to facilitate trade, streamline supply chains, and foster economic interdependence, thereby creating a more cohesive economic area. However, the Belt and Road Initiative has been met with considerable skepticism and criticism. Critics argue that the BRI serves as a vehicle for China's debt trap diplomacy, a contentious aspect of China's foreign policy, wherein it is accused of ensnaring countries in unsustainable debt to gain strategic advantages. The concern is that many countries involved in the BRI, often developing nations with fragile economies, are lured by the promise of infrastructural development and take on large loans they are unlikely to afford. When these countries fail to repay their debts, China is perceived to leverage this indebtedness to extract political concessions, secure strategic assets, or gain military footholds. A glaring example often cited is that of Pakistan and the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC, a flagship BRI project. While CPEC promises substantial economic benefits through improved infrastructure and energy supply, it has also plunged Pakistan into deep financial distress, with debt repayments to China significantly straining its economy. Similarly, in Southeast Asia, countries like Laos and Malaysia have engaged with BRI projects, only to find themselves grappling with escalating debt and sovereignty concerns. Laos, for instance, has seen its debt surge due to Chinese-funded hydropower projects, raising alarms over its financial autonomy and long-term economic stability. These instances highlight the complex dynamics at play within the Belt and Road Initiative. While China promotes the BRI as a win-win proposition fostering global development and cooperation, the initiative's critics paint a different picture, warning of the potential for economic subjugation and loss of sovereignty among participating nations. As the BRI continues to unfold, its long-term impact on global geopolitics, economics, and regional power balances remains a subject of intense debate and scrutiny. Case studies. The case of Sri Lanka's Hambantota port is a prime example often cited in discussions surrounding the complexities and potential consequences of China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. This instance starkly illustrates the broader implications of what critics term debt trap diplomacy. The Hambantota port development began as part of Sri Lanka's ambitious post-war reconstruction and development efforts. Located along the southern coast of the island, the port holds significant strategic importance due to its proximity to the Indian Ocean's busy shipping lanes, which are crucial for global trade. The vision behind the port was not just to enhance Sri Lanka's maritime capabilities, but also to stimulate economic development in the region. To realize this grand vision, Sri Lanka sought financial assistance, which led to securing loans from Chinese financial institutions. The financing for Hambantota Port, primarily sourced from China, was envisioned to boost the local economy. However, the project encountered several operational and financial challenges, leading to lower-than-expected revenues. The crux of the issue arose when it became apparent that Sri Lanka could not meet its debt repayment obligations for the loans obtained to build the port. By 2017, with mounting debt and the inability to service it, Sri Lanka negotiated a deal with China. The terms were stark: a 99-year lease of the Hambantota port to China Merchants Port Holdings, a Chinese state-owned enterprise, in exchange for debt relief amounting to $1.12 billion. This transfer raised eyebrows globally, igniting debates about sovereignty and the strategic ceding of control to a foreign power. Critics argue that the lease has effectively provided China with a strategic foothold in the Indian Ocean, altering the regional power dynamics and raising security concerns, especially from neighboring India, which views the development as a part of China's broader string of pearls strategy aimed at encircling India. The transaction's implications extend beyond mere financial distress. They touch upon national sovereignty, strategic military balance, and regional hegemony. For Sri Lanka, the lease of Hambantota Port has also sparked internal debates and public protests, highlighting the societal and political fractures that can emerge when dealing with such large-scale foreign investments and debts. The Hambantota case is emblematic of the broader concerns associated with high-stakes international lending and borrowing practices, especially those under the BRI umbrella. It serves as a cautionary tale about the potential pitfalls of infrastructure investments financed through hefty loans, where the envisioned economic benefits may not always materialize to the extent necessary to manage debt repayment without compromising national assets or sovereignty. The case of Djibouti, a small but strategically positioned country on the Horn of Africa, offers another compelling narrative in the discourse surrounding China's global lending practices and their implications. The establishment of China's first overseas military base in Djibouti is a development that has attracted significant international attention and raised concerns about potential debt trap scenarios. Djibouti's geopolitical significance cannot be overstated. It is situated at the southern entrance to the Red Sea, on the route to the Suez Canal, one of the world's busiest shipping lanes. This makes Djibouti a crucial node for naval powers interested in protecting their commercial interests and maintaining a strategic presence in the region. In recent years, Djibouti has sought to leverage its strategic location by enhancing its infrastructure and facilities, aiming to become a major commercial and military hub. However, with limited domestic resources, Djibouti has turned to foreign lenders, including China, to finance these ambitious projects. Chinese involvement in Djibouti is part of the broader Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, under which China has extended billions of dollars in loans to various countries for infrastructure development. The concern arises from the terms and size of these loans. Critics argue that the scale of borrowing could lead Djibouti into a debt trap, a situation where the country would struggle to meet its repayment obligations. According to reports, Djibouti's debt to China accounted for approximately 70% of the country's GDP, a staggering figure that underscores the potential financial vulnerabilities. The centerpiece of China's engagement in Djibouti is its military base, established in 2017. While China describes the base as a logistics facility to support anti-piracy, peacekeeping, and humanitarian missions in Africa and the Middle East, its presence has significant strategic implications. The base allows China to project military power across a vital region and secure its maritime trade routes through the Red Sea and beyond. The establishment of the base has raised alarms, particularly among Western powers and regional actors who view it as a move to secure China's geopolitical interests and expand its military reach. The United States, France, Japan, and several other countries also maintain military bases in Djibouti, making it a unique hotspot of international military presence. The situation in Djibouti exemplifies the complex interplay between economic ambitions, strategic military interests, and the risks associated with heavy indebtedness to a foreign power. While Djibouti benefits from infrastructural development and increased global standing, the long-term implications of its financial commitments to China, and the potential for these to impact its sovereignty and strategic autonomy, remain points of concern and debate. African continent analysis. China's lending practices in Africa represent a significant facet of its global economic strategy, shaping the continent's development landscape while also raising concerns about the long-term implications of these financial engagements. The narrative of China's role in Africa is complex, involving large-scale investments in infrastructure, mining, and agriculture, under the broader umbrella of the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. The nature of Chinese loans in Africa is diverse, encompassing government-to-government loans, export credits, and investment financing. These loans have been primarily directed towards infrastructure projects, such as roads, railways, ports, and power plants, aimed at bolstering Africa's physical connectivity and economic growth potential. Unlike traditional Western lending, which often comes with stipulations regarding governance and human rights, Chinese loans are typically seen as offering fewer political strings, making them an attractive alternative for many African nations. However, the extent of Chinese lending has led to increasing debt levels across the continent. Critics argue that the lack of transparency and the terms associated with these loans could potentially lead to debt sustainability issues, echoing concerns of a broader debt trap diplomacy. Zambia serves as a poignant example of the challenges associated with high levels of Chinese debt. Over the years, Zambia has accumulated significant Chinese loans, funding various infrastructure projects. This borrowing has contributed to an acute debt crisis, with the country defaulting on its international debt payments in 2020, a situation partly attributed to the opaque nature and the size of Chinese loans. The debt crisis has sparked concerns regarding Zambia's sovereign asset security and its broader economic sovereignty. Kenya is another illustrative case, with its significant investment in the Standard Gauge Railway, SGR, financed largely by Chinese loans. While the SGR represents a landmark infrastructure project intended to boost Kenya's position as a regional trade hub, it has also been a source of controversy due to its high cost, debt implications, and questions regarding its economic viability. Kenya's growing debt to China has raised alarms about the country's fiscal health and the potential risks to its national assets. The impact of Chinese loans on African economies is multifaceted. On one hand, these loans have facilitated major infrastructure developments, addressing critical gaps that can foster economic growth and regional connectivity. On the other hand, the increasing debt burden poses significant challenges, including reduced fiscal space, vulnerability to external shocks, and concerns about national sovereignty. Moreover, the COVID-19 pandemic has exacerbated the debt vulnerabilities of many African countries, leading to calls for debt relief and restructuring. In response, China has shown some willingness to engage in debt negotiations, as seen in the case of Angola, where China agreed to restructure debt repayments. However, the broader picture remains complex, with continued calls for greater transparency and fairer lending practices. South Pacific focus. China's engagement with South Pacific island nations marks a significant chapter in its expanding influence under the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. This strategy, while ostensibly designed to foster economic collaboration and infrastructure development, has sparked discussions and concerns over the implications of China's lending practices, particularly in terms of debt sustainability and regional strategic interests. The South Pacific, a region of vast blue waters interspersed with island nations, holds considerable strategic and geopolitical significance. Its location is pivotal for maritime routes and also for the projection of military power, evidenced by historical interests from global powers such as the United States, Australia, and New Zealand. In recent years, China has dramatically increased its presence in this region, offering substantial loans for infrastructure projects ranging from roads and bridges to ports and government buildings. Tonga serves as a poignant case in point. This island nation has been a significant recipient of Chinese loans, which were initially welcomed to address urgent infrastructural needs. However, Tonga's debt to China surged, at one point constituting over 40% of its GDP. The loans were mainly used for reconstructing Nuku'alofa, the capital, after a devastating riot. Despite debt relief efforts, such as China's agreement to defer loan payments, concerns persist about Tonga's long-term ability to manage this debt without compromising its economic sovereignty or succumbing to political pressures. Fiji, another key example, has also seen an uptick in Chinese investment and loan agreements. While not as indebted to China as Tonga, Fiji has embarked on various China-funded infrastructure projects, including roads and a convention center. These investments have certainly contributed to Fiji's development, but have also raised eyebrows regarding the terms of these agreements and the potential for debt entrapment, mirroring concerns expressed globally about China's BRI strategy. The implications of these debt situations extend beyond mere financial metrics. Strategically, the increasing indebtedness of South Pacific nations to China has the potential to shift regional dynamics. Traditional powers in the region, such as Australia and New Zealand, view China's growing influence with apprehension. They fear that China's loans and investments could be a prelude to a larger strategic footprint, potentially including military bases or intelligence gathering facilities, thus altering the balance of power and influence in the South Pacific. Economically, the debt incurred by these island nations raises questions about the sustainability of such financial arrangements and the risk of default. The debt trap narrative posits that in cases of default, China could leverage its position to extract political concessions or strategic advantages, as speculated in other regions like the Indian Ocean. Debt restructuring and forgiveness. The topic of debt restructuring and forgiveness, particularly in the context of China's global lending practices, presents a nuanced and multifaceted narrative. Countries that have borrowed heavily under initiatives such as the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, often find themselves in challenging financial situations, raising questions about the sustainability of their debts and the terms under which they might be renegotiated or forgiven. China's approach to debt restructuring and forgiveness has been a subject of significant scrutiny and debate. Critics argue that there is a lack of transparency and uniformity in how China handles these situations, with negotiations typically conducted bilaterally and behind closed doors, leading to calls for greater clarity and standardization. One illustrative example is the case of Angola, one of Africa's largest oil producers, which has received substantial Chinese loans over the years, primarily for infrastructure projects. As oil prices fluctuated and economic challenges mounted, Angola faced difficulties in repaying its debts. In response, China agreed to restructure the terms of over $20 billion in loans. While the exact details of the restructuring remain unclear, such moves are perceived by some as efforts to maintain influence and ensure continued access to valuable resources. In another instance, Ethiopia, which has also engaged significantly with Chinese financing for its infrastructure projects, found itself in a similar quandary. The Ethiopian government formally requested a renegotiation of its loan agreements in light of economic pressures. In response, China agreed to a debt restructuring, which included extending the repayment period. However, the specific terms and conditions were not widely disclosed, raising concerns about the lack of transparency and potential implications for Ethiopia's economic autonomy. Furthermore, China's approach to debt forgiveness has been selective and relatively modest in scale compared to the total volume of its overseas lending. For example, China has canceled a small portion of debt owed by several least developed countries, primarily interest-free loans, which constitute a minor fraction of the overall debt. While these gestures are publicized as signs of goodwill, critics argue they do not substantially alleviate the broader debt burdens that countries face. The opacity surrounding these negotiations and the absence of a standardized framework for debt relief have led to a broader discourse on the need for international standards and greater involvement of multilateral institutions in such processes. This is underscored by the contrasting approaches seen in traditional Western lending practices, where institutions like the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank often play a central role, providing a more public and standardized approach to debt restructuring and relief. International response and alternatives. The international response to China's lending practices, particularly under the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, has been a mix of caution, criticism, and strategic recalibration by countries and international organizations. Concerns predominantly revolve around the potential for debt dependency, lack of transparency in loan agreements, and the strategic ramifications of significant Chinese infrastructure investments abroad. Many Western countries and international financial institutions have expressed apprehension regarding China's lending mechanisms, pointing out the risks of opaque lending practices and unsustainable debt burdens on recipient countries. Critics argue that the lack of transparency and fair market competition, coupled with the strategic implications of debt dependency, pose significant challenges to global financial stability and geopolitical balance. The United States, for instance, has been vocal in its criticism of the BRI, framing it as a tool for China to expand its geopolitical influence through predatory lending practices. The European Union has also echoed concerns, urging member states to exercise caution in their engagements with Chinese financing, advocating for sustainable connectivity and transparent investments. In response to China's growing influence through the BRI, several countries and international coalitions have initiated alternative financing programs aimed at providing nations with options other than Chinese loans. These initiatives typically emphasize transparency, sustainability, and adherence to international standards. 1. Launched by the United States, Japan, and Australia, the Blue Dot Network, BDN, aims to provide a certification mechanism for global infrastructure projects, ensuring they meet high standards of transparency, sustainability, and developmental impact. Although not a financing tool per se, the BDN seeks to promote quality infrastructure as a counterbalance to BRI projects. 2. Announced by the G7 nations, the Build Back Better World, B3W initiative, is intended to provide a transparent infrastructure partnership to developing countries, offering an alternative to Chinese loans. The initiative focuses on climate, health, digital technology, and gender equity, promoting values-driven, high-standard, and transparent public-private partnerships. 3. The EU's strategy aims to mobilize up to $300 billion in public and private infrastructure investment around the world by 2027. The Global Gateway is designed as a sustainable and values-based alternative to the BRI, emphasizing green and digital transformations. Countries have also engaged in diplomatic efforts and policy adjustments to mitigate the impacts of China's lending practices. These include enhancing scrutiny and regulatory frameworks for foreign investments, fostering regional cooperation to reduce dependency on single sources of financing, and engaging with international financial institutions for debt relief and restructuring support. Furthermore, recipient countries of Chinese loans are increasingly seeking to renegotiate loan terms, enhance contract transparency, and diversify their funding sources to avoid excessive indebtedness and maintain their strategic autonomy. Future implications and strategies. The discourse surrounding China's global lending practices, often labeled as debt trap diplomacy, opens a complex chapter in international relations, implicating future economic, strategic, and geopolitical landscapes. Reflecting on the potential future of these practices requires a multifaceted analysis, incorporating perspectives from both the lender, China, and the borrowing countries entangled in these financial agreements. From China's perspective, the continuation of extensive lending practices under frameworks such as the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, is likely to remain a cornerstone of its foreign policy and economic strategy. This approach serves multiple objectives: securing China's geopolitical influence, exporting its industrial capacity, and ensuring access to strategic resources and markets. However, facing increasing scrutiny and backlash, China may need to recalibrate its approach. This could involve enhancing the transparency of loan agreements, offering more favorable terms to reduce the risk of debt distress, and ensuring that projects are economically viable and environmentally sustainable. For borrowing countries, the future implications of engaging with China's lending practices are profound. The challenge lies in balancing the immediate benefits of infrastructure development against the long-term implications of debt sustainability. Countries might adopt more cautious approaches, seeking to diversify their funding sources beyond Chinese loans. This could involve turning to multilateral institutions, engaging with alternative global partners, or fostering domestic capital markets to finance development projects. In terms of strategies, one possible outcome could be the evolution of a more multilateral approach to infrastructure financing. This would entail greater involvement from international organizations such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, IMF, ensuring that projects are subjected to rigorous scrutiny in terms of financial sustainability and developmental impact. For instance, the G20's infrastructure investment platform aims to mobilize private sector investment for infrastructure in developing countries, offering an alternative to state-led financing models. Furthermore, borrowing countries might adopt stronger governance frameworks and debt management practices to mitigate the risks associated with large-scale borrowing. This includes establishing clear terms for transparency, engaging in inclusive national dialogues to assess the merits and risks of proposed projects, and developing robust legal frameworks to govern foreign investments and loans. On the international stage, diplomatic efforts may intensify to address the concerns associated with debt trap diplomacy. Initiatives like the Blue Dot Network, led by the United States, Japan, and Australia, aim to provide a certification mechanism for global infrastructure development, promoting transparency, financial viability, and environmental standards. Such initiatives not only offer alternatives, but also set benchmarks for responsible lending and borrowing practices.
In conclusion, The future of China's global lending practices and the concept of debt trap diplomacy hinge on a dynamic interplay of interests, strategies, and global shifts.
Both lenders and borrowers face the daunting task of navigating this complex landscape, with the collective challenge of forging a path that fosters sustainable development, equitable growth, and mutual respect among nations on the global stage. Thank you for tuning into our analysis. Remember to give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and ring the notification bell to stay updated with our latest intriguing content. Take care and see you next time.